Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And welcome to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're excited to have Anthony Nieves join us. He is the committee chair for the Non-Manufacturing Report on Business coming out of the Institute for Supply Management. And this report really is measuring what happened in March and is released within the first 3-4 days of the following month. So we're going to take a look at what has been occurring in March. And I don't know, Anthony, is this the last rosy report we may have for a while?
Well, I don't know how rosy this report is, but definitely one that kind of is the precursor as to what we might see even further decline going down the road.
Well, thanks for joining us, and why don't you give our listeners an overview of what this report looks like?
Thanks very much, and good morning to you. We look at the release this morning. The composite index came in at 52.5, which is down 4.8 percentage points from the prior month, the 57.3 we had in February. And as we explained in the release this morning, the composite index at showing expansion, showing growth at 52.5, and that's driven by one of the sub-indexes. Because if you look at the four sub-indexes that comprise the composite index, business activity, new orders, employment, and supplier deliveries, each are weighted equally at 25%. And the way we came up with that formula is way back when we first came out with the composite index, we looked at GDP over a 10-year period of time, and we looked at which sub-indexes would correlate most directly to tracking of the tracking of GDP over that period of time, and we weighted those four indexes equally. Now, in normal course of things is with economic activity, we would see supplier deliveries correlate directly to supply and demand. But because deliveries have slowed for a multitude of reasons, most notably the pandemic and associated capacity constraints and disruption to the supply chains and other variables, the deliveries came in at 62.1, which is 9.7 percentage points higher than the prior month. And it is the lowest, or I should say the slowing of deliveries and the highest reading for this index since August of 97. So when you look at, it's definitely at 62.1. It's just what's kind of, it's an anomaly, and it's what's kind of keeping or buoying the composite index to stay above the 50 baseline, or else we might see further decline if it wasn't for the extreme slowing of deliveries that we experienced this month. We do see contraction in business activity at 48. That's down 9.8 percentage points. New orders were showing an uptick of, actually it's not an uptick, but it's showing growth. It's 52.9. That's down considerably because we had such a strong reading last month at 63.1. And employment's contracting at 47. And so business activity at 48, that's the lowest reading we've had since July of 09. The employment index, that's the lowest reading we've had since 2010. So when you look at this in the total picture of things, that we have certain industries that are kind of driving things for the non-manufacturing sector. If you look at some of the top industries in the sector, and two of them, we can understand why they have such high activity. One is healthcare and social assistance. So healthcare has had, as we know, just to responding to all the things that are going on in the world right now. And government, public administration, government can't shut down. It's still operating. It's still providing the necessary things that we need as a society. So those two industries are two of the top five. The third one that's showing growth this month is the real estate rental and leasing. And we would think more on the rental and leasing side that there's activity versus actual residential buying and selling of homes. But putting it all in perspective, this sector, as resilient as it's been for 122 straight months, this is what we're seeing now is an indication of the slowing and the decline that we will be seeing even probably next month further, because we're looking at March in total and things have changed on a daily basis as it relates to the pandemic. And even with the composite index showing growth month to month, it's still the lowest reading we've had in since August of 2016.
Yeah, I can't imagine what the report will look like next month in view of the fact that some of your industries are literally shut down. Arts, entertainment, and recreation, retail, trade, a lot of that is just going to, I can't imagine it dropping to zero, but that's where they're at.
Yeah, the accommodation and food services as well. Hotels have had little to no occupancy for the ones that are even remained open. And as we know, the food service establishments across most of the country are only available for takeout, and those are just the ones that stayed open.
Yeah, these are considerable shockwaves moving through and in a very unusual fashion, the economy. I'm just curious what your respondents are saying, as because they're the ones who are right in the line of fire of this.
You know, it's interesting that I know that with Tim's report, he had said he had a very high percentage of responses related to the COVID-19. And I can tell you, last month I said the same thing, that there was more responses than I've ever seen in a previous report, in any prior report. And the same goes for this month. It seemed like every comment was related to what was going on with the pandemic. And our respondents, as we put in the report, and I'll read one from the healthcare and the social assistance industry: significant shortages of personal equipment, personal protective equipment, PPE, chemical reagents, test swabs, and other basic medical supplies persist. Extreme sourcing measures are required to procure necessary supplies for basic operations. Distributor allocations continue across the board. And that is so indicative of what's happening. I mean, even for my own business, which is in healthcare, everything is based on allocation. There is definitely an increase in cost. And it's just a matter of trying to get the supplies. They're out there. It's just that you're not getting it in the quantities that you would normally be able to order in. This next one comes from Public Administration. Severe impact to operations as a result of COVID-19. Major challenges in obtaining needed supplies for first responders, including N95 masks, gowns, disinfecting products, and medical supplies. As a local government, we are experiencing a significant increase in activity due to emergency response efforts, starting to experience inappropriate price increases for short supply items. So that has been the flavor throughout most of the respondent comments for this month's survey.
Anthony, you mentioned that the supplies are out there, you just can't get them. Seems to be a dichotomy. Where are they, and what prevents the industry from getting what they need?
Well, it's definitely a demand and utilization issue, especially the N95s. The surgical masks, they're out there. They're still coming in an allocated supply. The N95s, which have a higher degree of protection and filtration against the viruses, microbes, and whatnot. So that's just tough. And it's more about this type of demand that we're having now is just well exceeds what would be normal production and capacity utilization.
Oh, right. Yeah, far, far above it. And that's more on the manufacturing side. That's more Tim's report, how manufacturers are going to respond to this. I note that the toilet paper shortage, I've kind of watched that industry, and their comments are, we were running at capacity before this hit, and so maybe we can squeeze out 120% of capacity, but that's the absolute ceiling. So I'm imagining that we're going to see some continuing difficulties for toilet paper. I'm really saddened to hear that we are having such difficulty with the N95 masks. I don't know when that's going to abate.
Yeah, I think that the masks are a different story in the sense that healthcare workers are dealing with thousands of cases that just were not, there was not a need for that kind of, you know, we've always run into a little bit of shortage like in the past during influenza season, but this has far exceeded that requirement just because of the contagion and how communicable this virus is. In regards to bathroom tissue and paper products and disinfectant and all that other stuff, yes, utilization has gone up as far as people are using and cleaning more services, but it's more about the hoarding. If people had stayed within the normal realm of what their needs were instead of stockpiling it in houses, we wouldn't have the issues that we're having today. And let's face it, this is a respiratory type ailment that does not cause increased usage of bathroom tissue. So it's just a matter of, again, as you walk through the retail outlets and you see they will not be taking returns on those products, you'll see demand decrease once we get past this pandemic because everyone's got enough inventory on it.
Yeah, right. Anthony, you used to be in the restaurant business and you watch over the restaurant sector within your industry. And I'm wondering how these folks are going to fare because they still have overhead expenses while their restaurant is closed. So they've got to be starting to go into a hole. What's your sense of their ability to recover? And does this rescue package from the government help cover their nut?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that even some of the large operators are going to struggle, even with corporate coffers, they're going to struggle. The small, the medium operators, we're going to see a lot of business fatality out of this. And even with the stimulus package, and again, how much that money lasts, how long does it last? And again, even deferring lease payments, rent payments, the single largest variable expense outside of food cost in a restaurant is their labor cost. You have food cost, you have your property operations, you know, lease payment, whatnot, but then the payroll expense is what's really the big one. So with folks being laid off and furloughed, that takes that out, but it doesn't stop the fixed cost, such as the lease and other things. And that, even with a deferment, I don't know if they can recover from it. Just depends on the strength of the or the financial wherewithal of the individual operator.
Right, right. Well, we'll have to see how that. There's going to be many, many industries that are in a difficult situation. The other question that comes to mind, Anthony, is supply chain. Obviously, for a great many years, American companies went overseas to reduce costs, and the upshot of that is now we find that 90% of our antibiotics are made in China, and a lot of the things that we depended on, like PPE, are made in China. Do you expect to see a lot more made in the USA labels coming out of this 2, 3, 5 months down the road?
I don't know if the window will be that short. But I think that, you know, the whole low-cost country sourcing, offshoring, really took the country by storm going back into the 90s. Mid-90s was a big push for it. And I think it's really come to roost that we are struggling because of it. So I know that even with the issues we had with the trade war with China prior to the pandemic, we had seen alternate supply routes developed, but still many were offshore. Not much was brought back domestically. There might be a push. It all depends on how we come out of this and what the psyche and the mindset is. People tend to have short memories, so it'd be interesting to see how that evolves over time.
Yes, and balance sheets seem to have even shorter memories, so you're right. We'll have to... You know, the next quarter will be upon them soon, and their stakeholder will be saying, what are you doing to cut costs? without cutting our throats.
You know, I'm interested to see how the stimulus package will pan out. And again, this is just hearsay from what I'm reading across the board, is that this money supposedly may run out the first day that it's offered. You know, it was offered, the application process started at midnight, and, you know, the East Coast had a jump start on other parts of the country, and we'll see how long that money, how far it goes.
Good point. Yeah, I hadn't thought of the time zone differences. So getting back to the report itself, Anthony, is I find it surprisingly strong for the month in which this coronavirus hit. I guess there aren't any surprises in it, but you tell me.
Well, again, we have to look at it the month in total. And as much as we collect the data as far toward the back of the month as possible, you're still measuring your total activity for the entire month. So companies 4 weeks ago versus today, it's a different picture. And it may be a different picture even next week and the week after that. Remembering our dialogue on last month's call, we knew there was a serious issue with COVID-19. We didn't realize how widespread and how fast it would move to where we are today. And that's really impacted businesses from even the beginning of the month to the latter part of the month. So, again, measuring the month in total, it doesn't look as dire as it could be. When you look at it next month, I don't expect us to see as the strength that we're seeing in some of the indexes that we have right now.
Right, right. The supply chain professional, Anthony, which used to be a dark and dingy job down in the basement, was elevated to the C-suite, has to be under incredible strain at the moment, particularly in healthcare and social services, trying to find, you know, product to keep their operations going. What do you think the long-term impact is going to be for those folks as they look forward in time? My sense is that they're going to be harsh in their evaluation of where they get their product and be more America first.
You know, I think so. I think that as much as contingency plans are in place, emergency preparedness is in place for many companies, this was something that nobody anticipated. No one projected this to happen, not to the extent that it's gripped the not just this country, but the entire world. And to your point, I think that will be a major factor in how companies factor their strategy for supply chain going forward. They'll need to really look at things. I'm not saying that we'll start doing USA first and foremost, but I do expect some kind of shift to where there has to be some consideration put forth in how things are develop going forward, because it just can't be so reliant to where you're crippled when something like this transpires.
Right, right. So in your particular slice of the industry, which is home health care, what are your pain points at this position in time?
Well, that's a great question, and one that certain patients, because we visit people in their homes, they don't want anyone from the outside coming in. And it's a double-edged sword. They don't want to have a clinician coming into their house that's, you know, maybe exposed to the virus. As much as we have them in protective gowns and shoe covers and masks and gloves and all that, they still don't want, they're just wary of having anyone come in. Now, depending on the severity, because each patient's different, the only thing that we struggle with is you're better off having a clinician come into your home and treat you versus the severity of whatever ailment you have gets to the point where you have to be hospitalized, and then you're even in a more precarious position. You don't want to be going to a hospital where it's actually harder to control some of the reason why people go to the hospital, because they need that kind of round-the-clock care with ventilators and everything else. But hospitals, or they, and I'm not trying to be, I got to be careful how I state this, but you're in a contagious environment. I mean, that's where some of the most severe microbes are, is in a hospital, because you have nothing but sick people there. So it's, as much as it's controlled, you're putting yourself in a more susceptible position versus isolated.
Yep, no doubt, and I would agree. I can remember my dad saying, if you ever have to go to the hospital, get out as soon as you can, because there's lots of sick people there.
That's true.
And the hospitals recognize that. They fight it all the time. When they're trying to sanitize floors, walls, every contact surface, they have to be incredibly aggressive about it.
Well, and microbes mutate. They evolve, and they evolve, and so that different strains evolve, and it's very hard because some of the superbugs wind up in hospitals because of that.
Right. Yeah, they certainly do, and we've got a couple of those going on. So, gosh, there's not, you know, I wish there was some good news in this. The nation, I'm sure, would love to hear something positive out of this, but I don't know where we go with that, Anthony. Do you?
No, I think that one thing is that people are resilient, and that each generation has had to contend with certain things, whether it was our forefathers that had to deal with world wars or whatever the case might be. This too shall pass, and we as a nation will move past this. And I think the reaction has been as best that we can get forward with as far as what's going on. I mean, it's people just will pull together, and as a country, we'll get past this too.
I would agree. I think there was some early hope as this thing began to rear its ugly head that quickly faded, but I'm pleased to see the United States respond really in identifying that we had a very contagious virus, figure out how to test for it, figure out how to make the test accurate, then manufacture the test, distribute them all over creation, and look for other resources, all in a matter of about 60 days. So
yeah,
it has been a rapid response.
Yeah, putting aside the politics of all and whatever is out there, but at the end of the day, this is just a huge, huge issue. I mean, this, if you had asked me last month what my thought process would be in regards to this, I wasn't even close, and it was because I had no clue. No one had a clue at how fast this thing spread, and information was coming forth each and every day. So I think that, to your point, the response has been so resources are tough. I mean, we just can't pull something out of your back pocket. And, you know, we can be as critical as we want to be, but I always believe in, let's look at the glass, is it half full or half empty? And this is something where healthcare workers, first responders are stepping up. People are stepping up that have to step up. Government is very tough to move. I mean, it's a huge machine, and for it to move as fast as it did, you know, I think that we're in a better place than we would have been if someone had sat on their hands and said, what do we do next? So I think that, you know, I'm not one to cast stone in a glass house, you know, cast stones in a glass house by any stretch. This is something that anyone could play Monday morning quarterback on this. We didn't know what we didn't know. And now I think that where we are today in this whole, who would ever thought about quarantine or shelter in place or stay-at-home policy? I would have never thought anything like that to this point.
No, I certainly would not have thought of shelter in place for a nation as a whole. That is truly an unprecedented event for every country around the world. Anthony, thank you for joining us and presenting a little bit in and a little bit outside of this non-manufacturing report on business. We value the input that you provide, that Tim provides, and that the Institute for Supply Management provides for Manufacturing Talk Radio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me on the show. Stay well and take care.
Thanks, and you too, and we appreciate all of our listeners. Hopefully you get something valuable out of this show as you listen to it and all of the others that we have posted on Manufacturing Talk Radio. So we are always appreciative of our listeners, our visitors to the website, mfgtalkradio.com. And once again, thank you for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.